the Vancouver Tech Podcast. My name is James.
And I'm Drew Grizik. And this is our 43rd episode. What's up, James?
Woo! Party 43.
Yeah.
I've had a very, not necessarily busy week, but not necessarily a quiet week. It's just, it's been a week.
Nice. Oh, it's been a week. That sounds like a good first week of fall, I guess. Mm. And it kind of has been. September in full swing.
This is my favorite time of year because I'm one of these people that always likes to wear jeans mm-hmm. and a jacket. And this is perfect weather where I can wear jeans and a jacket and not be cold or not be hot. I'm just perfect temperature.
I find like the change in temperature, it can be kind of awkward sometimes. Should I wear jeans? Should I wear shorts? Should I put on a sweater? Should I take it off?
Yeah, I agree.
But it's nice to have variation, I suppose.
You know, it's funny to build on that. I actually wore a jacket in the morning to work on my way there, and I forgot it on my way home because I didn't need it. It could be kind of frustrating having to like carry it around at the end of the day.
I saw some people talking a little bit about keyboards, and I thought that was kind of interesting. In tech, I mean, and in just about, in any job that uses a keyboard, I guess, we're on a computer and we're on our keyboard all the time. And we see a lot of different ones. And do you think a keyboard is something that is a personal thing that you should personalize? You should have your own, maybe bring in your own custom keyboard to work. Is it something the company should provide? Should there be a budget? How big should that budget be? Should we get the best, most expensive possible keyboards, ergonomic keyboard, or should it just be any old keyboard?
I think, it's important. I think the number one thing that people in our industry get injured with is like repetitive stress injuries, whether that's like sitting down too much or standing or I guess not standing, like in some way hurting your neck, hurting your back, like straining things or sitting for a long time, typing a lot. I wouldn't say that developers type the most out of a lot of jobs. There's probably a lot of jobs that, like my sister works for a law firm. Being assistant, she does a lot of typing. She's basically dictating, taking notes. But yeah, I think that having an important keyboard that's ergonomic and, you know, helpful and healthy, like a healthy keyboard, it makes a lot of sense.
Sure.
I don't know, what do you think?
I think going on what you said, it's a lot of people say, you know, we spend more time reading code than writing code. And I think that's, for the most part, quite true. But at the same time, we are on our keyboards all the time. So it's kind of something. I think there's a couple of parts to it personally. Like one is that having an ergonomic keyboard is obviously a good thing, but I think that might be more treating a symptom rather than the cause.
Right.
And so like I had some issues with, I guess like ulnar nerve entrapment and things like that, because I lean pretty heavily on my elbows. And,
right.
You know, I'm really heavy actually on my hands and I lean forward a lot. And I found that, I've got a mechanical keyboard and I like that a lot better than non-mechanical keyboards. And I like the way it sounds. I like it because it's nerdy and it's cool.
Yeah. It's loud.
Yeah. It's not that loud. It's like the brown cherry keys.
But, I wonder if a keyboard is the equivalent of like that guy with the motorcycle. And he's like flying down, flying down Robson with like the loudest bike you ever heard. And then there's like the person that has the very quiet scooter. I wonder if that is, there's that developer equivalent with like keyboards.
I would say no. And more because you really do notice a big feel. Like before I got my mechanical keyboard a couple of years ago, I kind of thought, you know, maybe it's just hype. Yeah, mechanical keyboard, blah, blah, blah. But you really do notice a big difference. And it is something you spend hours and hours and hours on every single day. You definitely notice a big difference. And I would recommend it to everybody. At least to try it, and it might not be for you, although I've never heard anyone seriously try out a mechanical keyboard and say, no, it's not for me. But there's a lot of different types of keys that you might want to experiment with as well. But at the same time, I found that when I was getting a lot of like pains and things like that, I was at Active State at the time, and right beside them, they had a yoga studio that I signed up for. And I went to yoga every day for like an hour. And that was amazing. Like you know, there's something to be said about stretching and movement and exercise and stuff. And I think that's really good for you. I don't know if it's necessarily got to be yoga or whatever, but I think that really, really helped in like a lot of the pains that I had. Like, you know, you sit a lot and like lie down a lot, whatever. I was getting the issue, like kind of a pain. I think it's in your nerves where I couldn't even turn my head the way.
Yeah. That's the worst day when your neck or your back is hurting.
Yeah. And it just felt like, I wanted to stretch, but I just couldn't or something. I don't know what it was, but yeah, everything kind of went away after like about, like a couple of days even, or a month yoga. Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen the mouse that I have. I have this mouse that's like, it's almost like a rock. Like it's almost a circle.
Is it with the sphere thing on it?
It doesn't have one of those like roller balls. Oh, okay. It's a regular like laser mouse. Mm-hmm. But I was having wrist pain a lot. Yeah. And I use one of those little pads too, I was at the time. Using one of those little pads just to keep my wrist out like at a correct angle. Mm-hmm. But I always found I was still like really cranking my wrist like quite a lot.
Yeah.
And I was using one of those Apple mouse, like the slim ones, and it like really makes your hand like really flat in like an uncomfortable way.
Yeah.
So I was using that. And then I switched to just a regular, like, you know, $30 Microsoft mouse that just the tiny ones.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that it was still really bad. And then I went to Staples and I tried a whole bunch of them. And I picked this other Microsoft one it's almost like you're holding like a baseball.
Yeah.
It's really big. Everyone that sees it, they're like, that's your mouse? Because it looks like kind of like strange, right? You have like almost like a baseball on your desk that's like a mouse. But I found after I switched, the pain went completely away. The problem was the mouse was like almost $100, which is like kind of a lot for a mouse. But in hindsight, it's definitely worth it because the pain just went away after a few weeks of using it.
Mm-hmm.
It looks silly, but it works. So, you know, what can you do?
Yeah, that's kind of cool. I know some people, mostly designers more, but they use like the Wacom.
Yeah, and, the tablet stuff.
Yeah, instead of a mouse.
Yeah.
I think it kind of depends on the person. Fortunately, I don't have too many problems with my wrists, so that's good. But I also don't use mice that much as well.
You know, my problem is I don't use Vim. I use my mouse too much. Maybe. Don't use Vim. Got to use Vim. Don't use that mouse.
But I mean, or maybe use your mouse. I don't know.
Yeah.
But what about your keyboard?
I always forget the name of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I always forget what kind of keys are on it. I think they're Browns, I think. But it's a really, I think I just got it on sale at like Canada Computers one time. I was in there and I was like, oh, this keyboard's like 50% off because it was an open box.
Mm-hmm.
I bought it and I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try this keyboard. If I hate it, you know, I'll just return it or, you know, I'll sell it again on Craigslist or whatever. Mm-hmm. I ended up loving it so much. And I actually haven't been using it because at work I actually use one of those like plugged in Apple keyboards, it's got the chiclet keys like a laptop.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm thinking of bringing it in. I'm just worried that people will be like, your keyboard's too loud. Because it would be the only mechanical keyboard in the office, which maybe says something about like media or our agency life is a little bit more.
I wonder what sort of people complain about a keyboard being too loud, and what sort of office conditions find that a keyboard's too loud.
We sit very close together. Yeah. I mean, like I'm conscious of like I don't want to annoy someone else. Like if someone had a tick or some sort of annoying thing that they would do constantly,
mm-hmm.
I would probably say something or try to get them to do it in a different way. Right?
Well, I guess I wonder: are people very communicative at your office? Do you talk to each other?
Yeah.
Is it like open space, and is there a lot of talking going on? Because that can be quite distracting as well. Like
true.
When somebody's talking across a desk at somebody on the other side of me, I find that super distracting personally.
More than someone maybe making some noise beside you or like tapping on something.
Absolutely. Because like some sort of noise can be like a steady noise or whatever.
Like a white noise kind of.
Well, it's also usually I have headphones on, so I'm listening to something and not super loud, so I could hear people if they're talking pretty loudly like across the room. But I'm not really going to notice a keyboard. But that's it. I mean, that's me personally. Mm-hmm. And I definitely appreciate that other people might. But I don't know. I don't think that it's any more valid to say the sound of your mechanical keyboard bothers me than it is to say your keyboard not being mechanical and making quieter noises at a level that bothers me.
Yeah,
I don't know.
I guess we'll see. I'll bring it in and see what happens.
I guess I just really like mechanical keyboards.
I'll do like a little experiment. I'll see if anyone. I'll try to be as loud or as quiet as possible and see if there's anyone that notices or says anything. Like, hey, that's a loud keyboard.
Having said that, though, like the keys that I have on mine, I've got a Wasid custom keyboard with the Brown keys, but they don't seem to like. They don't make like a click when you bottom out, which might not be the greatest thing. Like it might be better to have that click, that actual tactile feedback at the end, which I don't have. And then I've also heard that, you know, I haven't tried with getting rings, but that can make it a little bit quieter as well.
Oh yeah, I've seen those too. That stuff is really expensive. Eh? All those little keyboard, like little accessories, like even the key switches, it can be pricey, can't they?
Yeah, it really depends, I think, on where you get them. Like I think mine was it was like 150 US and then shipping was like 30 or something, and then there was like $60 duty or something crazy like that.
Yeah.
And I didn't even realize like you can you can find pretty decent, like a Philco mechanical keyboard from what's the place locally that has all the electronics?
NCIX?
Yeah, NCIX. For, you know, if you find it on sale for like $30, $40 or something.
Yeah, definitely. So, I mean, even like even just going on like Craigslist, there's people that buy things they don't like. Mm-hmm. I mean, especially with like computer accessories.
Yeah.
We'll jump to our meetups around town. All right. I think, as you mentioned, fall is in full swing, so we're getting that those pumped up meetups. I see a lot of actually messages in random meetups saying, hey, we're back from the summer break. People post that in their first meetup of the fall, I guess.
Yeah, I guess we're starting to see that people are getting back into the swing of things, not mm-hmm. necessarily going to the beach or on the yacht cruises after work for the boat sure. parties. Did you make it out to any boat parties this summer?
No, actually. I never got invited.
Neither did I. Yeah. What I did, something I did do was I went paddleboarding with my girlfriend.
Nice.
And it was both of our first times. And I fell in three times.
Really? Like three were you like times. Fully clothed?
No, no.
Oh, you're wearing like your appropriate stuff?
Yeah. Well, I don't think you'd go paddleboarding with like full clothing on.
Oh, right. That's the one you're standing to, like, on, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But she didn't fall in at all. And she was even like practicing standing on one leg and stuff. So that was pretty good.
Oh, she's really showing you up then.
Yeah.
That's
it was,
cool.
It was pretty fun.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, let's take a look at what we've got. Monday the 12th, we have GitHelp and Zero Tech, and that's over at Decentral, 436 West Pender, from 4 to 6 p.m. So this should be a lot of fun. If you've got a laptop, I'd make sure to bring it. Go and you can talk about Git and Zero Tech. I haven't actually been to this for a couple months. I'd like to, like most of the summer, I didn't really go to much. Mm-hmm. So I should probably go and make it out to that. We've been really busy. We'll see how it goes this week, but might be able to make it out.
Awesome. Cool.
And Red Academy, they got something going on at 6 p.m. What do they have?
Intro to UX design.
All right. So have you gone to any, I know you TA over at Red, but yep. have you gone to any of their intro to classes?
I have. I think I went to this one last year. Mm-hmm. I thought one of the cool things I like about these like classes,
mm-hmm.
Was that the people that were presenting it were actually really involved the audience. Like, hey, does anyone out here know of something that was like really well designed? Like you like the experience. One of the things that I said was Zipcar. I like that you can text a Zipcar and you can say like, extend my thing. And you're just sending an SMS. They have a really awesome app. You can like open the car from the app and stuff like that. That was my pitch, but it involved the whole team of people that were there. They were talking to the audience, asking them questions, giving feedback, having them join little groups and like talk about things. It was like really engaging, mm-hmm. Which I haven't seen like a good, you know, alternative to something like that. So I was really happy with it.
So are you saying that the intro to UX design had good user experience?
Absolutely.
That's awesome. Okay, so that sounds pretty cool. This is over. This is Monday from 6 p.m. Would you need to bring a laptop to that?
I didn't. So no. I don't think you would. But it's really more of a discussion.
You would need to, but no. More of a discussion.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Sounds pretty awesome. And that's over on West Broadway. So right on Broadway and Granville, up on the second floor above McDonald's.
Cool. All right, Tuesday, 13th.
Yeah, so we've got so these are some Vancouver Pixel Crafters posted there. But Open Coffee we have at 8 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. This is over at Nelson the Seagull, 315 Carroll Street. Don't have to bring a laptop, but you could if you want to, and hopefully an appetite for coffee, I guess,
mm-hmm.
Or tea, or maybe just some water. I
or
don't
even
know.
Awesome Nelson the Seagull bread.
Oh, they have Nelson the Seagull.
Oh, they
bread.
Have awesome bread there.
Nice.
Yeah.
So you've been there a couple of times, and are you planning to go this Tuesday?
I think I'll try to make it out. It was fun. It's always a different crowd. It's really, you know, the night owls versus the early birds. So I think that's pretty cool to see the difference.
Nice. All right. And then we've got from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. This is on Tuesday over at The Hive. We've got this Camp Tech. They've got quite a few meetups coming up this week. And this is it's announced on the Vancouver Pixel Crafters meetup. So Camp Tech. And what this is all about is SEO, ooh. How to drive more traffic to your website. So this looks like a 3-hour thing. There is a pre-registration required, and it's $85 for a 3-hour session with Emily Chow. And it sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting. So I haven't been over to The Hive, and I haven't gone to any of these Camp Tech meetups, but it might be kind of neat.
You actually get some swag. They'll give you out some Camp Tech swag, which is kind of cool. So that $85 is also, you know, you're getting there, the meetup, and you're also getting some things you can bring home with you.
All right. And then we've got the BCUCUG. And what does that stand for, James?
I have no idea.
you told me last time. So anyway, this is happening over at Microsoft, 1111 West Georgia, up in Suite 1100 from 3 p.m. And what does it stand for, James?
The British Columbia Unified Communications User Group.
Nice. And so what this says is the September meetup is virtualizing SFB on VM vSphere.
A lot of V's in there.
Yeah, quite a few.
Virtualizing VMware vSphere.
Very, very good for Vancouver. All right, and we've got Adam Ball from the Colorado UC User Group is presenting on virtualizing Skype for Business on VMware's vSphere platform. Should be pretty awesome and an interesting meetup to go to. This is from 3 p.m., so an interesting time right in the middle of the day. Seems like a lot of stuff's happening on Tuesday in the day. And then we have the Financial Technology Meetup. So this does seem to be an ongoing weekly meetup. Seems awesome. From 5:30 p.m. over at Voleo Inc., the 12th floor, 1140 West Pender. Would you bring a laptop to this, James? Have you been to this, James?
I would definitely bring a laptop to this.
Would you?
I would, yeah.
All right, this is the in-depth intro to securities industry. And it says, like, it's a weekly in-depth introduction to the securities industry, as well as for people who are preparing to take the CSC. Are you preparing to take the CSC?
I am not. Are you?
I'm not, but this might be kind of interesting to get to know what's going on. I think that a lot of times, I guess, software development, a lot of times is very much related to understanding the industry you're developing it for. And obviously, the two go hand in hand. So it might be, if you're interested in this stuff, it might be a really good, a good meetup to attend.
Anthony actually messaged me saying that there's a stock industry side to the fintech meetup. So he's talking, there will be that sort of flavor to it. Mm-hmm. And mentioned that they have another few weeks for that. So we'll expect a couple more meetups after this one to finish that CSC like certification.
Yeah. Okay, very cool. And then we've got the Vancouver Closure meetup at 6 o'clock. So bring your laptop, be ready to hack on something in Closure.
Cool.
Have you done anything in Closure?
No, that's a Lisp-like language, right?
I guess.
I think it seems like everybody's all cool on the Closure. I guess it's a lot of concurrent
everybody's
stuff.
Everybody's all cool on the Closure.
I know it seems like Vancouver actually is a very big Closure community, so mm-hmm. I definitely think it'd be something cool to check out.
Nice. All right, so let's take a look at the last meetup of Tuesday that we have is the Python September meetup. It's over at Mobify HQ, which is number 300, 948 Homer Street. I would bring a laptop to this, as well as the Closure meetup. Make sure to bring a laptop and hack on something. Mm-hmm. But anyway, 6 p.m. over at Mobify, the Python September meetup. That might be kind of neat. Have you done anything with Python?
Yeah. Actually, I just did a thing for Sublime Text. Mm-hmm. I was messing around. I converted a plugin for just CSS to SCSS. Mm-hmm. The SCSS package that is on the Sublime package control is really, really old. Mm-hmm. And the CSS one that Sublime has is very, very new. So I converted it for SCSS so I can get all these nice fill-ins for a lot of the new features in CSS, animations, transitions, transforms, flexbox. So I converted that. So check that out. It's on the Invoke GitHub.
All right, sweet. Yeah. Sounds pretty cool. All right, so that's happening at 6 p.m. Bring your laptop, and that's our Tuesday. Then we've got Wednesday coming up. So we have the Vancouver Linux Desktop Meetup from 4:30 to 6:30 p.m. over at Decentral. Have you ever run Linux as a daily driver?
I did. I was actually in high school when I did that. Mm-hmm. I had this old laptop. It didn't really run Windows very well. And I thought, you know what, I'll check out these. Like, I was looking for like a low-impact operating system, found Ubuntu. Or actually ordered the CDs from the Ubuntu site because you used to be able to say, hey, I want Ubuntu CDs, and they would send you like five or six. Mm-hmm. So I ordered some, gave a couple to my friends, got some Kubuntu CDs as well.
Nice.
Yeah, so I was using that. I also used it a little bit in college, but I had a dual boot because I needed Adobe stuff.
Yep.
Yeah.
So makes sense.
Fun.
That's pretty interesting. So I think the first laptop I ever had was like in 2001 or something.
Wow.
And it was I think it was a 14.4-inch screen. It's like 85 pounds or something. Yeah. It was so heavy.
It was like
it would
90%
leave, like,
battery.
If I ever carried it in my laptop bag, it would leave like a really
like a mark
an indented line on my shoulder.
Yeah.
But I found that at my mom's place, and I think I installed CentOS 5 on it.
Oh,
this
wow.
is a few years ago, like in 2011 or something.
Do you know which RAM it had or any of the processor?
So I think it came with like 256 megs of RAM.
Woo!
And I upgraded it. I added like another 128 or something. And somehow I ended up with 333. that it would register.
Yeah.
And I think it was like a 700 megahertz processor, which was pretty good.
Yeah, that was probably really expensive at the time.
Yeah, and it had, I remember trying to install a game on it once, and I think it was Black and White, EA's Black and White.
Mm-hmm. That's like the...
I think it was that. No, it was Tribes 2.
Oh, yeah.
I remember trying to install it, and it would like kind of install, but then I couldn't play it. It was all weird. I looked at the game package, and I was like, oh, requires 12 megabyte graphics card, and I only had an 8 megabyte graphics chip, and I was like, oh no, that was when I realized I wanted a desktop.
Yeah, absolutely. It's probably the same weight too.
Yeah. I think the desktop would have been a little lighter.
Cool.
Vancouver Linux desktop. Anyway, Linux is awesome. So I'm not running it on my MacBook, but if I didn't have a MacBook, I'd probably be running Linux.
Yeah, absolutely. Now we have the Pluralsight Study Group.
And that's at 5:30 over at PNI offices, 100-425 Carroll Street. Make sure to bring your Pluralsight
membership
and a laptop and be ready to hack on quick start to JavaScript. I think they started this last week, so this is the second week on it. But there's a Google map of the location. The address is attached to a parking lot. Should be pretty fun.
Cool. All right, learn data science.
Yeah, and this is over at SFU Harbor Center, 555 West Hastings Street in number 1200 from 6 p.m. Make sure to, read the reading if you're planning on doing this. So this is data science reading group, XGBoost, a scalable tree boosting system. Sounds pretty cool. And there is a link in the meetup to the reading. It says doors open at 6. Feel free to mingle. From 6:30, the reading group starts. And then from about 7:45, off to a nearby restaurant for food, drinks, and breakout discussions.
Cool.
Sounds like a really awesome group. I'm kind of embarrassed or ashamed of myself for never having read any of the reading and gone out to one of these, which I really want to. But
it'll be the year of the reading group for you.
Yeah, it looks like it's actually huge as well. Like, there's 50 people going to this.
Yeah, definitely.
That's, yeah.
Cool. Ionic Vancouver, speaking of JavaScript.
Yeah, so this is over at Lighthouse Labs, 350 128 West Hastings from 6 p.m. Would you bring your laptop to this, James?
I would. Some Ionic demos.
Ionic demos, nice. So you could probably either try stuff out as you see it, or it says something. You can expect to see the Ionic apps in various stages of the product lifecycle. Built with stable Ionic 1.x and beta Ionic 2.0, published as web app and to app and Play stores, powered by open source and commercial backends. Seems pretty awesome, but this one is a demo night, so I wouldn't worry too much about bringing a laptop, but up to you if you want.
Cool. All right, the one that doesn't come up that much, the Vancouver Android Developers Meetup.
Yeah, so this, if you're listening to this, there are probably no spots left, so you can maybe get on the waiting list for that. But I've gone to this when it was full, and I think it said it was full, and I think about 30% of the people who'd RSVP didn't show up, which I thought was too bad. But anyway, I ended up going, and I really liked it. I thought it was a great meetup, and it's awesome. This is over at Mobify on the third floor. Definitely bring your laptop and your Android to that. But it looks like they'll be having two lightning talks this month by Albert Lowe, who's going to be presenting about Retrofit 2 for HTTP, and Elizabeth Cross, who is going to talk about animations in Android using Object Animator. So cool. Sounds awesome.
Definitely. All right, the Alt Games meetup.
Yeah, and this is over at the Lennox Pub, 800 Granville Street from 7 p.m. I wouldn't worry about bringing a laptop to that, but it does sound like it would be a lot of fun if you're interested in old games. And then we have Thursday.
DDD, CQRS, ES Practitioners.
All right, so this is, looks like the time got bumped from 4:30 to 5, so it starts from 5 p.m. to 7 p.m. If you're interested in DDD, CQRS, or ES, then make sure to check this out. I would say this is one of the... I'd say of all of the meetups in Vancouver, this is the one must attend. You got to go and check it out at least once and see what it's all about. See if you agree, I guess, with some of these design, like with domain-driven design, with command query responsibility segregation, and with event sourcing. Are these things that you really jive with or not? Mm-hmm. And I think if you don't know what they are, then you owe it to yourself to find out. If you do know what they are, then you probably already want to be a part of this meetup.
They're starting a three-week journey with building a sales prospecting system. So that's kind of cool. This is the week, first week. So definitely get in there and follow up the next 2 weeks and learn about the sales system. They're
yeah.
Build.
And I can't remember if we talked about it when Adam was on or not, or if we talked about that, offline, but, I think they mentioned something about, because they wanted to be able to go more further in depth into some of these topics than they have in a mm-hmm. limited amount of, you know, a couple of hours, where they do, it's very hands-on and very workshoppy. And you really get an idea and a feel for what you're doing and for practicing this stuff that you can bring it back to work and actually implement it. And they wanted to have sort of, deeper dives into different topics at different levels as well. So some people come, you know, maybe 20% of the people, they don't know what this stuff is. And so they're kind of learning it. So they want to have something, maybe a 2 or 3 week stretch that'll deal with that. But yeah. then there's other people from the totally opposite end of the spectrum that have been implementing this for years. And they want to dive deeper into the more advanced features of it and better, more, you know, other ways that they can use it. Other ways that they can use it, and they'll have topics for that, and then some for people in between.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, and one of our favorite code schools is having a nice demo day, Lighthouse Labs demo day.
Yeah, so this is at 6 p.m. over at 128 West Hastings at Lighthouse Labs. So if you're wondering what's going on at some of these code schools and you want to see what sort of stuff they come up with, if you're maybe thinking about attending one, make sure to check this out.
Yeah, free beer and pizza as well.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
Yeah.
All right. And we also have at 6 p.m., Vancouver Phone Gap. This is over at The Hive, 210 128 West Hastings. That should be a well-attended meetup. What does it look like as far as attendance? So it looks like right now we're looking at about 30 people, and I think the cap is 40, so make sure to get in on that if you want to go.
Definitely.
Would you bring a laptop to that?
Yeah. Yeah. And my phone as well.
I would as well, yeah. So this is cool. It's actually Simon McDonald's is going to be talking about what's new and upcoming for PhoneGap, as well as getting started with the new Creative Cloud SDK plugins. And then Steve Gill will be talking about what's new in Cordova and what is upcoming. Sounds great. And pizza and beer will be provided as well. So you got Tuesday, a lot of pizza and a lot of beer. Sorry, Thursday.
Yeah.
And then there's another one. So Windows Platform Developer Group. This is kind of neat. Have you ever used Xamarin?
No, I haven't. I'm very curious to try it, though.
Yeah, it looks like this is from 6 p.m. and it says iOS and Android development for the C# developer with Xamarin.
So people that don't know, Xamarin is a cross-platform tool, sort of like React Native or some of these other things where you write once, deploy many times. That's really what it's
pretty
about.
Sure everybody knows what Xamarin is because it was in the news not too long ago when it got bought out by Microsoft.
Yeah, for pretty penny as well.
Yeah. So that's from 6 to 8 over at Microsoft Canada Excellence Center, 725 Granville Street, up on the 7th floor.
Yeah. Another, there's a couple of these Camp Tech meetups in the Vancouver Pixel Grafters group, and this is one of them. It's called Intro to Google Analytics.
Yeah, and this is over at The Post at 750, which is 750 Hamilton Street, from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And it does look like there is registration required, also $85 plus tax. And it does say in the note, laptop computers are required for the class. So it's a 3-hour intro to Google Analytics. You'll learn how to get analytics set up and installed properly, create custom views, create segments to compare data and configure simple goals for your website. Sounds pretty cool.
Yeah.
And, that's it for a Thursday. Then we have Friday the 16th.
Yeah, another Camp Tech meetup, Photoshop for Beginners.
Yeah, so this is from 1 p.m. to 4 p.m. on Friday. This is also on Vancouver Pixel Crafters meetup. And the price for this is also, you guessed it,
$85
plus tax. So I would definitely make sure to bring your laptop to that. It does say the workshop's for beginners and no previous Adobe or graphic experience is necessary. It is a fast-paced class, so you should be familiar with basic tasks on your laptop, like how to open, save, and organize your files. And have Photoshop, not Photoshop Elements.
You can get the free trial from Adobe as well. So if you haven't done that, you can get Photoshop that way.
Yeah. All right, cool. And that's it for Friday. So Saturday, we've got an interesting thing happening. I don't know if you've been to any of the talks over at Build Direct in their building, but they're having this hackathon not in their building over at the Hyatt Regency. But it looks like a full weekend hackathon. It starts Saturday, 11:30 a.m., and then it ends on Sunday at 1 p.m. What's the registration like for this, James?
So far, there's 8 people, and it does close on the 15th.
Well, the 8 people are actually only on the meetup page, but yeah, actually, there's a link to click. to go to their website where you're going to apply and register. So we're not too sure what the numbers are going to be like on that, but we do have a couple of prizes. So the first place grand prize is a $2,000 cash prize, a sweet trophy. Discuss the future of your hackathon idea with the CEO, Jeff Booth, CTO, Tall Ball, and API team. And you also win, the winners will be showcased at the Build Direct Partner Summit. Second place is 1,000 cash, sweet trophy, and also showcased. And third place is $500 cash. So it sounds like it might be pretty interesting. It does say some different things like here about you. Are you a developer or UX designer? Do you have a dream project in mind? At Hacking Home Improvement, you'll get to work closely with talented developers to make your idea become a reality. So it sounds pretty cool. Definitely interesting. If you're looking for a hackathon this weekend, there is one happening.
Cool. All right. And that's it for meetups. I know that some people probably saw in the YVR Dev Slack that I've been posting a link to this Vancouver developer survey. Mm-hmm. Me and Drew have taken a little peek at the results already, but I'll release them along with the show on this morning. You can find them in the show notes, the links to those results. I'll also post them around, and we can all talk and yell about how angry we are at the results or speculate what went wrong.
Yeah.
For some people.
My favorite programming language is definitely SQL.
Yeah.
All right, we're here with our special guest, Ilya Brodsky. Now, Ilya, you've been on the podcast before, but this time you've never been on it before from Chile. Welcome to the Birthday podcast.
Thanks so much, Drew. Hi, James. So happy to be back.
Hello.
Really appreciate to be you guys letting me share my thoughts with everybody in the Vancouver tech scene.
Awesome. So tell us a little bit about what brought you to or what brings you to Chile and what you're doing down there.
Definitely. So yeah, it's a pretty cool experience doing this remotely. So our company, VanHack, it has been selected or was selected for Startup Chile's 16th generation. Startup Chile is actually a federal incubator accelerator program. So their idea is to bring companies from all over the world to Chile to spend 6-7 months. And they help with equity-free funding, co-working space, mentorship, and generally help your company grow in Latin America. So since we work a lot with Brazil and we're wanting to expand to the rest of Latin America, Startup Chile made a lot of sense. So I've been here for about 2.5 months now, and it's been a lot of fun.
Awesome. So what exactly is VanHack, and how does that bring you down to Chile?
Definitely, yeah. So VanHack, our mission is to help the world's best international tech talent get jobs in Canada. And we do that by helping them with their English, with their resumes, with their profiles, interviewing skills, and then also finding great companies like Hootsuite, Shopify, and many others, helping those companies find talent in our talent pool.
That's pretty interesting. So we're talking with some of the developers in the Vancouver scene, and there were quite a few people talking, and someone brought up the question, you know, do you know of any companies that don't go through recruiters? And everyone was like, every company uses recruiters. And that was a really interesting thing. So recruitment is definitely a big part of companies finding employees, I think for sure. But then on the other hand, people trying to find jobs often go through recruiters as well. What's the reception been like from some of the companies? I guess VanHack is kind of targeting or really focused on bringing, intellectual talent from other countries to Canada and specifically Brazil, now Chile. So it looks like South America's market.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
But so, what's the reception been like from companies?
Yeah. Well, I first have to say there are some companies that don't work with recruiters out there. I have gotten some emails back saying, please stop sending me these resumes. So it happens. But yeah, there's also some great companies like I would say maybe Traction on Demand as a kind of our most recent company where we place someone at. And they're definitely hungry for good people, and sometimes they can't find them locally. And that's kind of where we come in. We also do help local talent, like no reason why someone from Canada can't use our service to get a job. It's been a good reception for the most part, but some companies are a little bit weary, especially of the visa issue. So that's something that hopefully will change soon, but it's definitely a big barrier because companies don't want to go through the headache of going through the labor market impact assessment, which can be time consuming and something that really is unnecessary, but the government wants, you know, to prove that these people are needed, and there's a lot of political stuff there. But anyway, it's...
So can you actually tell us a little bit more about what that process might look like from a company point of view?
Definitely, yeah. So if you're a company that's looking to bring in talent from abroad, you have to do this labor market impact assessment. And the first step with that is to post a job for 1 month, and you have to post it in a very specific way in specific sites. So you have to post it in the Canadian Job Bank, you have to post it in local sites, you have to post it in national sites. Basically, you have to...
So that was actually another question that some people had, like, where's a good place to look for tech jobs? So what are some of the sites that are required posting areas? Or any of them Craigslist?
I don't think Craigslist is required. The only one that I am fairly certain is required is the... Canadian Job Bank, which is like the federal government site for jobs, which isn't very good, to be honest.
Is there a fee for that?
Not that I know of. I don't think so, but there may be. If there is, it's pretty small. Yeah, but the best one I always say is Indeed. Indeed is by far the best. Aggregates all the job sites, and it's really good for just general jobs. Craigslist is good, but not really that great.
Right.
Yeah.
You were talking about the process to get in or apply. What was that again? So you have to have this job on the federal site for a month.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Then what's the next?
For sure. So you have to put the website, the job up for about a month. And then afterwards you have to apply. We actually have an ebook that goes through the whole process. So it's, if anyone has, you know, questions, and they can kind of get more details on vethack.com/employers. Let me just continue here. So after you put that up, you have to pay a processing fee of $1,000. And then you have to create a transition plan. So here you have to kind of show that you're actually, doing something that is, not just looking for international talent, but you really want to put, like, you have to prove that you've done a recruitment effort and done something that, like, you're not just bringing in people from abroad. You really are sincerely looking for someone, but you just can't find them here. So then you apply and you have to wait.
Yeah, so I guess the idea is that you want to try and prove that you've done your due diligence to find somebody to fill this role, but you haven't been able to find someone locally, so you can justify sponsoring somebody to come in internationally.
Yeah, exactly. And this is definitely on paper a really good idea. Like, I'm all for 100%. We have to find the person who's in Canada. We don't want to be hiring, developers from outside of the country if there's hundreds of them that are waiting for a job in Canada. But where it becomes difficult is that we just don't have the senior level people, people with 10x that are years or more of experience. Actually, someone was telling me that you have to wait between
six years
to find them.
Yeah, that's quite a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, what about something like a working holiday visa? I know Canada has a relationship with quite a number of countries. Are any of them Brazil or Chile or any of the other South American countries?
Yeah, so Chile's
and
the
how
only
does that
one.
Kind of pan out? Because I guess...
Yeah, sorry. Yeah, so that's a great question. So Chile is the only Latin American country that is able to get an LMIA, a working holiday visa. So that's actually really great for us being here, because we can tell people that it's a lot easier for you to get to Canada with. So you get a 1 year working holiday.
Means they could come here and they could work for a year without requiring any sort of sponsorship. But then after they've done that, if they have worked for a year here, is it any easier than for a company to sponsor them?
It is. They don't even have to sponsor them. The company doesn't have to do anything. If someone has 1 year of Canadian work experience, they can apply for something called a Canadian Experience Class Visa. And that's a fairly straightforward way to get your permanent residence. And I'm pretty sure there's nothing the company has to do on that side. Yeah.
I was curious to know how many of the people that come over via this program actually stay where they got their first job. Do you know anything about that? Like, someone comes from Brazil or Chile or whatever. They come to Canada, they land in Vancouver. They got this job lined up. Do they stay there for a long time? Do they move around? Do they end up going back? Do they stay in Canada? I was curious about that stuff.
Yeah, definitely. Great question, James. Yeah. So we've helped about 70 people get jobs in Canada with a mix of remote and in person, most of them in person. And the only one person that I know who's changed jobs has he got the job 5 days after arriving, spent about a month at the company. It was clearly not a good fit. And then he got another job. There probably are others that have changed jobs, not that I know, but all of their kind of goals is to stay here long term. Like they want to immigrate, they want to be Canadian citizens, they want to pay taxes and kind of contribute to society and help the tech scene grow. So for the most part, they're staying at the companies. Like we have one guy who's at Lululemon, he's been there for over a year, I haven't seen much of the changing jobs unless it's like a very clearly not a good fit. But yeah, for the most part, it's people who want to stay here for the long term.
Do you think they have less turnover than maybe someone that's native born or someone that's more westernized as far as like Canadian culture goes?
Oh, that's hard. I couldn't tell you. I guess our sample size isn't so big, so it's really hard to say. But like, I feel like people, you know, that do come in as immigrants, I think they're really grateful. I don't want to say they're more or less grateful than other people, just because you can't really say. But I know that they're really, really happy to be in Canada and working for a company. So I think in general that they're not really looking to leave and kind of, oh, I'll get 10K more a year at this place, I'll just jump to that one and kind of do that. I think they're just super happy to be involved and kind of want to stay at a company maybe for, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, or you know, maybe more. But we've only been around for about a year and a half, so it's hard to say. But I think yeah, there definitely is a sense of gratitude and loyalty from tech talent that comes in. I've definitely seen how big of a change it could be in someone's life, having you know, lived 4 years in Brazil and now back here in Chile. Canada's a great place to live, and so people really want to show that they're grateful and by sticking around and working really hard and doing a great job.
So we've noticed definitely in North America there's a pretty large gender disparity in tech. Does that seem to hold true in South America as well?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I would say it's even worse. There's a pretty like masculine dominated culture in Latin America. So there aren't as many female programmers and just general tech talent. I would say it's actually unfortunately even worse. But
seem to be something that's changing at all? Or?
Yeah, it is. So Ladies Learning Code is actually pretty active in Latin America. Here in Chile, I'm actually meeting with a group called Laboratoria, which means laboratory, on Monday. That is helping underprivileged women learn how to code. They've helped, I think, a couple hundred already. And we're going to see how we can get them connected to tech jobs in Canada. So yeah, it's something that I think is a trend here, but I think they're a little bit behind in that just because of the culture. So hopefully that changes faster.
Cool. So which city are you actually in Chile?
Yeah, I'm in the capital of Santiago. But I have to say, guys, I was listening to your podcast on Easter Island a couple weeks ago. So I don't know if you guys have ever had a podcast.
That's pretty cool.
From Easter Island, but I'd like to say I'm the first.
I think that's our first one. But it won't be our last because now we have to make a trip to Easter Island to listen to our podcast.
Live show.
Yeah. So that's really cool. What have you had a chance to check out the meetup scene at all? Are there any, is there anything interesting happening? What's the tech scene like?
Yeah, definitely.
Startups.
Mm-hmm. It's definitely smaller than Vancouver, although the city is a little bit bigger than the Vancouver population. I think there's about 4 or 5 million people that live here. But I was at a JavaScript meetup the other day and there was a good 30 to 40 developers in the room. There's a hackathon happening right now that some of my friends are mentoring at. Startup Weekend's coming up in a couple of weeks. So from what I've seen, the ecosystem is growing. And everyone keeps saying that, you know, when Startup Chile started 6 years ago, started in 2010, there was nothing. So I think the government has really realized that they need to bring in talent from all over the world to Chile. And actually 30% of the companies that come through Startup Chile end up having some kind of operations in Chile for like a long term. And it's been a really successful program. So yeah, I think that Santiago, Chile, it's a great place to spend some time. And if there's any like entrepreneurs out there, or, you know, maybe some developers who have built something, the program is pretty sweet. They give you about $40,000 equity free. So you know, it's kind of one of the best deals out there.
So what is the program that you're talking about, Ilya?
Yeah, it's called Startup Chile, startupchile.org. Unfortunately, applications for this next generation, the next cohort, closed, like, I think it was on Wednesday this week. So but it's every 6 months. Yeah, they have two a year. So the next one will probably be coming up in February, like applications for it. And then you'll start in June, which is a year after mine, generation 18. But yeah, it's actually a fairly straightforward application process. And there's a lot of information online about it. And so the benefits are, of course, like I mentioned, equity-free funding. They give you $40,000 Canadian. And I actually got into another program called the Go Regional Program that gives you an additional $10K for just one more month in Chile. So it's not that it's bad to be here. I'm actually really enjoying it. So that 40 becomes 50. And they have another program called Scale, which is super exciting because they give you $100,000 of equity-free funding. Actually, I think it's $115 Canadian. And you stay here.
So how far would that, far would that stretch? I'm wondering what are the prices like in Chile? What would be like a one bedroom, apartment downtown in Santiago?
Yeah.
How much would a meal?
Yeah. So, it stretches pretty far. I'm staying in a fairly nice, like nothing fancy, but really decent, I would say comparable to the West End, you know, or, of Vancouver for $600. And so it's like half of what I was paying before and probably a third of what I will be paying when I get to Vancouver, given how fast prices are. Anyway, so the real estate kind of market, I think it's a lot less, but funnily enough,
what about something like internet or
internet, all that stuff, transport, that's really good, like really good metro system. You can the city's flat, so you can bike everywhere. But you know, it's not like the nicest city. I won't lie, it's not a Vancouver, so I missed the beat, but it's okay. Food here is actually expensive, like eating out at a restaurant. I remember my wife and I had lunch the first day we got here, just at a regular kind of restaurant on the corner, and it was $60 for two people, and we couldn't believe it. So I would recommend cooking at home. Groceries are pretty, you know, standard, like maybe a little bit less expensive than Vancouver, pretty much the same. But it's easy. Yeah. It stretches pretty far. Like I would say you'd spend, maybe half or like, yeah, maybe half of the money on kind of living and stuff like that, depending on your situation, how much you like to spend. And then,
as long as you're not going out all the time, I guess.
Yeah.
For $60 meals.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Just,
a lot of Canadians maybe going the other way, going to South America, because you're saying that there's a lot of South Americans coming to Canada. Mm-hmm. Is there the exchange, or is that real?
I was the only Canadian in my cohort, like at Startup Chile, but there were some Americans. I think there's like a lot of people that come to countries like Colombia and Chile, in Argentina, maybe in Brazil, not as much as I would say that, like, there's not that desire. It's more like, you know, someone like me, early 20s, when I went down to Brazil to have a like life experience and get some work abroad, not like a long-term thing, which is what people from here want to do. But it's something that I think exists, and it's definitely worth it. There's a lot of opportunities here, and you can come down, live for pretty low cost of living, and there's kind of a lot of problems that need to be solved. So if you're entrepreneurial, or maybe you want to do like a, earning Canadian dollars or American dollars while living in somewhere that isn't so expensive, it's a great alternative. Especially now that it's going to be summer, coming up now, it's in September, the seasons are flipped. So, it's actually been one of my dreams, always live half a year in North America in the summer, and half a year in South America in the summer. So maybe if someone wants to do that, it's totally possible.
Nice. So you could always be in summer. And I guess the opposite would be true. If somebody wanted to snowboard all year round, and you have the perfect, house sharing park.
I was wondering also about
those great mountains around here. but on the snowboarding point, there really is like a 3 or 4 world-class mountains. I mean, it's not a Whistler, but pretty close to like a Cypress or a Grouse. If you're into skiing, Chile's a great spot.
Cool. Yeah, I was going to ask about, is there anything that from Chile's startup scene that we could steal maybe here in Canada, in the city here in Vancouver?
Well, I would do something like Startup Chile, honestly. It has transformed their ecosystem, and it's brought, you know, tons of companies from around the world to the country. And if you think about it, it kind of sounds crazy. Wow, they're giving you this equity-free money to foreigners. They actually give about half of it to like half the cohort. We had 90 companies in our cohort. So half of those were Chilean.
So what are the stipulations on that? Does it have to be something useful to the local tech community?
Not really. They look for like education, healthcare, Internet of Things, robotics. They kind of have their categories that they're looking for. The main thing that they want is for you to do like social activities. So they call it the Founders Lab. So basically it's like founders creating founders. So I went and gave a workshop at the regional city that I'm going to go to called Viña del Mar. And I'm going to do that a couple times. It's going to be a mentor at Startup Weekend. Basically you have to give back, and they have like a point system. So every time you mentor someone, you have to prove and document it, and then, you know, give back to the community, and then you're helping people. Imagine if we had like the top entrepreneurs or some of the top entrepreneurs from Silicon Valley, New York, Israel, Europe coming to Vancouver and mentoring other Vancouverites or Canadians, you know, doesn't matter really what city it is. Hopefully it's in Vancouver, but, coming and helping, our country evolve and grow. I think that'd be pretty cool. And I'm spending a lot of my money in Chile. Like, I've hired a Chilean country manager. I'm paying a salary. I'm paying rent here, food, trips. Like, there's a lot of that 40K is going to be staying in the country and actually helping with economic development. They've been doing it for 6 years. So clearly there's, you know, they've had enough success to continue with the program.
Sounds very cool. You make me kind of excited to maybe try it out myself sometime. So I guess clearly you're there, you're working on something. What are you working on? What sort of, what can we expect to see from VanHack, or is it related to VanHack?
Yeah, no, definitely. I got in with VanHack. It's my, it's my 100% venture. That's all I think about do, et cetera. So right now we're gearing up for our next Van Hackathon, or virtual hackathon, which will be happening in about a month and a half on October 21st to 23rd. And so we're looking for some employers that want to hire talent from around the world. And of course, if anyone wants to join, you can, you know, go to vanhack.com/hackathon, and there's all the information there. And we're, you know, trying to promote and kind of grow Van Hack to the rest of the world. One of the big challenges we've had, not challenges, but everyone kept saying, "Oh yeah, you're that guy who helps Brazilians come to Canada." No, that's not what that hack is. We help, you know, the world connect with Canada, and actually we're even helping talent come to Chile and potentially Europe and other places. So we want to be a marketplace for international tech talent, kind of like the hire.com for immigrants. So that's kind of the vision of the company and what we're trying to create.
Very cool. Well, awesome. Ilya, thank you very much for being on the Vancouver Tech Podcast. And we look forward to seeing how things go with you in Chile and following the progress of VanHack.
Yeah, my pleasure. If anyone has any questions about Startup Chile, they want to apply or anything like that, feel free to reach out to me. Just Ilya@vanhack.com. And of course, if you're hiring, I'd love to chat with you as well.
Awesome. Thanks a lot, Ilya.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks for listening to another episode of the Vancouver Tech Podcast.
Check out our website, vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Rate and subscribe on iTunes. Much appreciated.
You can follow us on Twitter, VanTechPodcast.
Feel free to leave some comments below.
You can also hit us up on the YVR Dev, the Vancouver Tech, the VanTech Slacks. I'm at James.
And I'm at Drew. Special thanks to Sameroom for hooking us up with an integration that allows us to have a cross-team Slack channel, VanDevs.
Do you have a meetup that you want us to plug? Email us, show@vancouvertechpodcast.ca.
Music by A Shell in the Pit from the game Parkitect. See you at one of the meetups around town.